is the Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Flex Network. I'm your host, Flex Jane. You can follow me on Twitter at the Flex Network One. Today, I'm joined, of course, by Brandon Adam. You can follow him at Brandon D Adam 19. And of course, the wet blanket himself, Mike Dickinson at Mike underscore Dickinson. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Dude, I got zero memos about fucking cool shirt day, so I apologize.
Dude, you need to step up your game. Like, dude,
I coach two weeks in a row. I coach 7 and 8 year old soccer from, I'm on the East Coast. I coach 7 and 8 year old soccer from 8:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning. And I live 15 minutes from the field. So it's everything I can do to get here. Clearly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Mike, hey, all we care about is you showing up just so you don't get fined. That's right.
And extinguishing Brandon, all the hot takes.
So Brandon, have you cooled down from your James Cook take last week yet? Or are you still on fire?
Dude, on fire. Like, I'm still seeing him drafted way too high, but I've actually been seeing Dameon Pierce getting drafted really high as well. So that's been a late riser in a lot of these drafts. He's getting into the late first with some of these drafts. So it's interesting. I'm excited about it. It's a big bet we got going on. I took my guy, Dameon Pierce, and I just love what this guy can do. I'm in love with his film. Sorry. I'm just in love with it.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious because I was in a draft in a league that neither of you guys were in. And I was asking for your opinion because I have Rashad White and Dameon Pierce basically back to back. I got White ahead of Pierce. And really what it comes down to is I liked White's profile a little bit better. They both were at the Senior Bowl. They both played well at the Senior Bowl. But of course you went and you're like, yeah, you guys should draft Rashad White. And then of course, Brandon last week gives me his rankings. Oh yeah, Dameon Pierce is above Rashad White. What a guy, man. What a guy.
Hey, that was a late move. That was a late flag plant. I was trying to flag plant a little bit, and I just every time I watch him, and I just got done watching his interviews and just interviews after games and stuff. And man, I just like the kid. I think he's just gonna be. I think he has an electric personality and electric energy to him, and that's what all these coaches said about him, and he just is different. And that's what I liked. And I just love his opportunity. And I comp him to Kareem Hunt. So, and I'm a Kareem Hunt guy. Like, that was one of my favorite players I've ever drafted in the last, you know, 6-7 years. So, if I see that, I'm going to get you.
Clipboard Jesus, what's going on, brother? He says the clown prince is here. Mr. Mike. Jennifer. Mike, my daughter had her last soccer game of the season last night. That means she's a free woman. That's fantastic.
God love you.
I'm going to soccer right after this.
God, I'm stuck painting my house all day, so it's going to be fun. Nicholas, what's going on, brother? Pierce, number one in efficiency, I'm assuming, in college by PFF. Dude, Dameon Pierce was good. He's really good. And it's going to be interesting. So we're doing a rookie mock draft today. We did one before the draft. Now we're doing one after the draft. Coincidentally, we're all starting a draft in about an hour. So pretty much right after this show. So, you know, we'll put some of this into practice. But before we get into the rookie mock draft, there was some news that came down this week. So first and foremost, let's talk about Jerry Jeudy. It seems like to me, so for those who didn't hear, I don't have in front of me exactly what he was booked for, but essentially it was a domestic violence thing, but it wasn't violence related. He, I guess his whether it was his wife, his girlfriend, his baby mama, took his phone. He then took her phone and baby formula and locked it in the car. It was this whole thing. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think the NFL is going to do? A game? Maybe two? Like,
not even.
To me, it's not a big thing. So I wouldn't get too stressed about it. So let's talk about that first. Mike, what do you think about
there? So there's a fantasy lawyer. He's a lawyer and he tweets about fantasy relevant stuff. I was trying to find his profile, but basically what he said was that it was kind of a whole lot of nothing. A lot of what the no bond, he was held on no bond. That's statutory in Colorado. And then he said it was a domestic escalator. It was basically like a disturbing the peace call with a domestic escalator, which means that it was like, a scuffle at his house, and his wife made the call, or his girlfriend made the call. So he said it was probably, he's probably not going to end up serving any time. It's not really going to be a thing. I just saw he has his next hearings on the 31st of this month. So maybe a game. I don't know. I think that by and large, it's going to be a relatively difficult offense to predict right out of the gate. And this just makes it even muddier. So, you know, do you buy low on him? I don't know. I mean, is it going to be a Sutton week? Is it going to be a Dulcich week? Is it going to be a Javonte week, a Melvin week? I don't know. I think that by and large, it's just about Russ with that offense.
My two cents is, if you were drafting Jerry Jeudy high, keep drafting him, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, people aren't taking into account the potential like 6-game suspension for Alvin Kamara. But for Jerry Jeudy, it's going to be a game, I think, and draft him how you were drafting him before. I'm personally higher on Sutton. I think you are too, Brandon. But I mean, Clip saying buy Hamler.
Too deep.
He's coming off the ACL.
I like Hamler coming out of Penn State. He was fun to watch, but he's a deep shot guy. I don't see him getting a ton of targets. If you're really a Bronco fan, you know all about Tim Patrick. That guy wins against man. He's top five in the NFL per PFF against press, and he is so good. And I think that is the guy that's going to be it. He's going to be ruining a lot of fantasy football people's lineups when he catches touchdowns, because people are going to not realize it, but he's a massive target in Denver, and Russ is going to like him a lot, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Flex Mac is paid every time he mentions Tim Patrick, because that's all he can talk about. But I don't know. To me, it's Courtland Sutton's. He's going to have a good
season. It's all year. Yep.
Yeah, he's going to have the best season of his career. Just please stay healthy. Court, like
130 targets, I'm hoping. That'd be awesome.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And so then let's move on to Jarvis Landry. Mike, you've got your little Landry's about to MT, not Olave. We have to talk about this. So who's more riskier, Michael Thomas or Chris Olave?
Michael Thomas, 100%. I mean, he's cryptically tweeting things, and I don't know if it's about him not being happy with the organization, if he's not happy with the way that they communicated with him. But I mean, we've seen him disgruntled with the organization for the last 18 months or so. Like, he had his issues with Sean Payton. Apparently he and Payton, you know, aired their grievances and they were all good. But layer that over the fact that he's missed most, if not all, of the last two seasons. And when we did see him on the field, he didn't look good. I mean, he had that record-breaking season, and I think that's what everybody's trying to bank on. But the dude's 29. He's 6'3", 215. He's a big-body guy who's seen a lot of volume in his career, and I just don't think that – I think it's a fool's errand chasing after him. I think that they brought in Landry to do what they wanted Thomas to do with Olave. It was to mentor him, to show him how to be a pro, how to operate in a pro offense, what the annual, daily, and weekly work cycle looks like, and to turn – you know, to help – craft Olave into that number one wide receiver. And I think that the Landry thing just pushes me even lower on Thomas. I wasn't drafting him at his ADP, anywhere close to his ADP in best ball. I don't have any shares of him in any of my dynasty leagues, and I'm even further out on him. I would be surprised if he plays a meaningful snap of football again.
I think he plays. I definitely think he plays, but like you said, he's getting older. I think that record-breaking season obviously caused these issues. I think he was probably playing through stuff that year, and he just wore out that ankle, and he's having major problems getting back from this ankle. And they can't trade him. His contract is so bad that they can't trade him. They got to keep him, and they're going to get some value out of him. I just don't see him getting 150 targets like people think he's going to get. I think he's going to get more like 110 targets, and I think everybody's going to get about 100 plus targets in that offense. If you look back at what Jameis Winston was doing the two games before he got hurt, he was having between 30 and 35 passing attempts, and he was going off. And so I can see that offense being sneaky good, guys. Like, I think Jameis Winston in Superflex is somebody to really target. I think that would be a fun in redraft, at least. I think he would be he's one of my QB2s I'm going to try and get on my squad, because I think that offense is going to be pretty good.
Okay, Matt's throwing some shade here. You're saying Michael Thomas, a rookie minicamp Treylon Burks. I'm assuming that's some sort of shade at the allergy, Matt.
If you get this is hook, lightning, and seeker rookie. I just, I, everything This is like what Jamar Chase dropping the football in training camp. This is the same thing. Hmm. Same thing. If you're really gonna, fall for that, that's on you. But like, just don't do it, guys. Like, don't listen to Matt at all. Like that right there. That
take that advice.
Burks is gonna go get himself some allergy shots, and he'll be fine. Go ahead.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, it's called Benadryl. He'll be fine.
God, okay. Dude.
I got to keep throwing this shade on for Matt. Okay, so Matt's talking about Damian Pierce never surpassing 600 rushing yards in college. Small and undersized. I mean, he's not small. He is
218 pounds. Not small.
5'10". Yeah, 218 pounds. But he's saying the Texans are going to draft Bijan Robinson in the top half of the second round next year. Stay Maybe. Away. I mean, that's realistic. That's I mean, look, he could be replaced. That's just a fact. The sure. one thing I will say about Damian Pierce, okay, he had 100 rush attempts. Yes, he only had 574 rush yards, but he had 13 touchdowns. He also had 19 receptions for 216 yards. So, look, there's a reason that he fell, right? That's just
– production.
If he was – yeah, he didn't have the production, but
his profile is great. And if you watch his film – He's a Tasmanian devil when he's run that ball, man. He is so fun to watch, and he has all the cuts that are necessary to be an NFL baller. And he has opportunity here. I care about this year, you know. Like, I don't care about Bijan or whatever you want to try and project in 2023. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is this year and the opportunity ahead of him. And all he's got is a broken down Marlon Mack in front of him. And that's it. And if you're gonna not draft a guy because of that, or if you're afraid that he's gonna take Bijan Robinson in 2023, well, shame on you. You can miss out on value. You can do whatever you want. That's fine. But like, I think Lovie Smith is trying to get, and I think the Texans are trying to get value, and they're not gonna try and overdraft an RB next year. I don't, especially if Damian Pierce produces this year. I don't see that.
Even if that's what you think, even if, say, you go down, you follow Matt's logic, you say Texans are going to be mediocre, they're going to be drafted in the top 10 next year, Davis Mills is their guy, they're happy with Mechie and Cooks as their wide receivers, they're going to go running back. Even if that's what you think, there's no denying that A, Pierce has the ability, and B, has the opportunity this year. So what you do, if you're savvy, you buy him now at the top of the second round, and you flip him when his production peaks. You flip him after week 10, after week 11, and you say, great, you know what? So both things can be true. He can be a good pick this year, and Bijan can be relevant next year, but you got to figure out how to capitalize on it and how to cash in on it.
Is Bijan going to go in the first round, you think, next year? I think he might be that guy that pushes up. Like, he is that guy is different. So, you know, he looks like Todd Gurley out there running around in peak Todd Gurley form. Like, he's big and thick, and, you know, like, I could totally see him going to the bottom of the first.
Yeah, this is a shout out to Matt. Matt, you got to come in this damn show and just, like, we're just going to sit here for an hour, and you're just going to go take after take after take, because we're in a group chat, the four of us. And Matt has some spicy hot takes, and they typically are a little controversial. So we got to get you on the damn show, Matt. All right. Nick's saying flipping for Michael Carter. Yeah, why not? Right.
Yeah. Like that, you know who James Cook is reminding me of? It's Michael Carter of this year. I think he could be a Michael Carter. He could be productive this year. And then next year they could draft another back when they let go of Devin Singletary, and it's going to be a full-time share. Like, I could totally see that happening. So anyways, we should get to this draft though, huh?
Oh, I think we should. Okay, so Bijan Robinson is not as good as Breece Hall.
Wrong.
Breece Hall's freaking good. Maybe wrong. I don't know. Breece Hall is very good, Brandon. Very good.
Yeah, I understand he's very good, but he's not Robinson.
This is not a Devy podcast.
It's not a Devy podcast.
Go ahead.
Brandon, you're officially on notice. All right, let's get going, boys. Let's do our rookie mock draft post NFL draft. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Flex Network post NFL draft rookie mock. On the clock at 101 is one Mike Dickinson. Mike, you're up, brother.
101. I'm taking Breece Hall. Not thinking a thing of it. Let's go.
Yeah. Next.
Right, so. So all I'm going to ask is that we show some sort of control, because I'm going to try to keep this little banner thing at the bottom updated. And every time we take a pick, if we go quick, it's going to just be a pain in the ass for Shane. So just give it a little bit of time. But Breece Hall, we've said it before, it's not controversial. You listen to any sort of fantasy football show, period, it's Breece Hall's 101. So let's move on. Brandon, you're on the two.
I'm going Burks. Treylon Burks, he's my guy. Number one wide receiver. Wide receiver, I think he's going to be having 120 targets this year. Easy. I think he's going to be moved all over the place. They have to get him going. It is not a – if he, they have to get production out of him. It's a must for them, and I think it happens, and I think it happens early and frequent.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – I don't hate it. I mean, the thing about Treylon Burks that – we know is he's going to get peppered with targets, right?
Yep.
AJ Brown, it's interesting. So a trade just went down in one of our drafts where Al traded AJ Brown and I think the 104 for Jamar Chase to the Geek, actually. And this one was interesting, but I think that AJ Brown, man, like if he had stayed healthy, he could have a Jamar Chase type season in him. Treylon Burks, in my opinion, has that same range of outcomes. Now, obviously, there's some risk for things that have been discussed, but I like it. I can't complain about it. So
allergies and all, give me Burks.
Allergies and all. I'm going to be on brand here, and I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker.
There you go.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you're drafting well late into the first round, early second round. There's a ton of solid wide receivers. I am still confident that Kenneth Walker is going to have that fringe RB1, RB2 type season in him. If you play in a 0.5 PPR league, which a lot of people still do, I think Kenneth Walker, better. He's definitely better, but even in full PPR leagues, man, like Kenneth Walker, I'm comfortable taking him here. So, all right, Mike.
All right. So I tweeted out a little teaser, my wild card. I have, as a man of the people, I have reached into the viewers, and I am currently texting with one Nick Bock on Sleeper, Nicholas Bocklage. He is going to take he's going to draft from the four spot for this draft. He's going to help us out a little bit, little viewer participation here. So he is texting me. He is choosing one Drake London out of USC.
This is all so you don't have to take Drake London. This is all so you don't have to take Drake London. That's all that is.
It is the troll of all trolls. No, and I like the pick. You know, I like that we see that London and Ritter have been spending some time together. We also saw that Atlanta made that move late last night. They traded for Bryan Edwards. They got Bryan Edwards in a 7. They sent a 5th back to the Raiders. I don't know that that really moves the needle at all. But it's interesting that all their wide receivers, with the exception of Zacchaeus, are all big body guys. They got Patterson.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They got Patterson. They got London, and they got Pitts, and now they have Edwards. So I like London. He's going to get the opportunity. He's good. He's not my kind of guy. He's not who I would have taken, but I like the pick.
Cool.
Oh God. See, and then of course Matt comes in here. Drake London is greater than Treylon Burks.
That's fine.
That's what it is.
Mike.
All right, Brandon, you up, brother?
Olave.
Ooh, I like Chris Olave. Yeah, we've been extremely controversial so far, haven't we, boys?
Yeah. Olave. Yeah. Olave to me has a real path and has a gunslinger at quarterback that's willing to sling it for him. I think he's going to have 115 targets. I think 70 catches. I think that could be well within his range. It just depends on the touchdowns. I think he's going to get that Brandon Cooks role that they had back in the day. I think he's going to get fed towards later in the season when they get more comfortable. But they're going to have to put him in early and fast, because I think Mike Thomas, like we've been talking about all morning, I think Mike Thomas is going to be slow to get back and slow to get his – if he ever does get his full workload. I don't think he ever does again, but I think Olave is a safe pick with high ceiling and on that track down in on the turf down in New Orleans. I can't wait to see Olave just screaming down the field there.
The only person who appreciates me is Clipboard Jesus. Thank you, Clip.
We love you, Clip. You want to talk about a spicy potential division, though? You look at the NFC South, man. You got Winston, who's slinging to Olave. You got the Panthers, who are probably going to have a college-style wide-open offense with Matt Corral running it. You got Tom Brady in Tampa, and you got the potential for Ritter for bombing it down the field to London and Pitts. Like that, the NFC South is that South? Yeah, that's NFC South. It's looking kind of sneaky. Like I kind of like it.
There's talk that Cam Newton might get signed as a Panther again. Just to throw that out there.
Who cares?
Yeah, no one cares.
Nobody cares. I know.
All right. Of course, Matt chiming in here. Going to need crab legs. Jameis, if Olave is going to get 150 targets, I think Olave is probably going to get 130 to 140 targets. Like, no.
I was low. I even gave you the low projection in that time. I love that. And I'll take it with 115 targets. Like, he's just a stud. And I think he's going to show it down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. I'm going to go at number five here.
Yep.
I'm rocking Garrett Wilson, man. Like, Garrett Wilson, we love Elijah Moore. He is what it is. But Garrett Wilson, he was one of my top ranked. At the end of the day, he was my top ranked wide receiver pre-draft. When you look at range of outcomes, who's going to walk into the wide receiver one role? He's probably not that guy, right? You look at Trey, you look at Drake, you look at Chris. Like, we're not first name base with these boys, all right? Garrett, he is competing with Elijah Moore. It is what it is.
Yep. Studs. Two studs.
I think you tweeted it out the other day, Brandon. Like, Zach Wilson, man. Look, range of outcomes here. Zach Wilson's probably still quite cheap, right? So if you can, now's the time to go buy him in Dynasty. Even if you don't love him, range of outcomes, he's probably going to be fantasy relevant. So
I think in the next 2 years, man, he could be a real steal if you get him now. You got to buy this guy before he explodes, because this offense is loaded. I mean, it really is. And I'm excited for it. And he has all the talent in the world. It looks like he put on 10, 15 pounds this year. He looks thick. Everybody is talking about how his leadership in the building has been just incredible this offseason. And he's organizing everything this offseason to get with his wide receivers. And Elijah Moore said nothing but great things about him. So I'm excited for it. Let's get Zach Wilson before the boom happens, because when it happens, he's not going to get, like, nobody's going to let him go, because you got superstars on the outside. He's got a 1B and 1A. He has a 1A and 1B, you know, type situation with his wide receivers.
Absolutely. Here's a question for you. Is Zach Wilson Jimmy G?
No. No, Jimmy G can't even come near the off-platform throws that Zach Wilson can do, and his legs and his ability, his aggressiveness. Zach Wilson has all the traits that you want in a guy. Garoppolo's afraid to make mistakes. Zach Wilson doesn't give a fuck about that. He just wants to get the ball and try to fit it. And he is not scared to fit in NFL windows, man. And he tries. Like, I give credit to that kind of stuff. Like, if you have the balls to sling it, that means a lot to me. But Jimmy G, he's just trying to operate the offense. Zach Wilson is the offense.
Yeah, Nick's saying that Jimmy G is more handsome, though. That's a true fact. Are you guys taking Jameis?
That's a hot take.
That's a hot
take. Are you taking Wilson or Tua, Mike?
It depends.
No, not depend.
No. It depends on if it's redraft or if it's dynasty.
Dynasty.
Always dynasty here.
Okay. In a dynasty setup, I'm probably gonna take Wilson.
Yeah.
And only reason I'm hedging Wilson, you look at the tools that Tua has, and you look at the coaching staff that's down there. Obviously, Tua is being set up to succeed, but McDaniel didn't draft him. Salah drafted him. So I think that just for that reason alone, you look at, you know, the running back situation is dicey down in Miami. The running back situation is a little bit muddy in New York. The tools that they have down in Miami, you got Waddle, you got Hill, you love that. In New York, you got Wilson, you got Moore, you love that. But I just think you got to lean towards the fact that the coaching staff drafted Wilson, they didn't draft Tua.
It's impossible to get a straight answer out of Mike. Hopefully we can get one.
No, you can never get him pinned down.
Dude, I said Wilson.
He's always backing out.
I said Wilson. Shut the fuck up. All right, I'm on it. I'm on it 107. All right, so this is where you got to start to make your decision. And you got to look at, this is a little bit, we could talk about roster construction, everything like that. Strictly from a super flex setup, though, I think at this point, I'm taking Kenny Pickett. tiny hands and all. I know he only had 1 year of production in college, but he was in that building. He was in Pittsburgh for 5 years. The Pittsburgh Steelers staff watched him for 5 years. They didn't make a move up to get him, but when he was there at 20, they jumped up. They jumped and they got him. We talked about it last week. Trubisky's getting paid $7 million. To frame it for you, Jameis Winston is getting paid $22 or $28 million. Oof. So Trubisky is getting paid backup money. Pickett has the capital. They have Pickett has the trust. Pickett has the weapons. I'm going Pickett here in a super flex setup.
That's where he should go. Seven's right where he should go.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely, Brandon.
My next pick, I think you got to go Jameson Williams. You know, like Jameson. I mean, we've said it a million times. If he wasn't injured, he might be going one, two, or three. Like it just depends on the kind of guys you like. But he has all the talent in the world. You just got to wait on him with the ACL. But in 2023 and beyond, he is going to be a stud. So I'm excited for him. He has all the talent. Let's draft him at eight and be happy.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's likely going to be on the pop for the start of the season, it's unfortunate. That's probably why he's falling. Whereas Kenny Pickett, I mean, he could start day one, really, right? Because Mitch Trubisky, like you noted, Mike, a lot of his salary is based on incentives. And what's that marker? Was it 60% of snaps or 65% of snaps? Do you guys know off the top of your head? It's along those lines where that's where he gets a good chunk of his salary is based on that. So it is what it is. I think it's a good pick, Jameson Williams. My next guy here, he's my boy. Been talking about it since day one, and finally people jumped on the bandwagon. But
dude, you hit that.
No. Sky's the limit for sky more. Sky's the limit. More sky more, baby. I'm going to stop singing because that's going to lose followers. But Sky Moore, man. I mean, he went to pretty much the nut spot. He's the kind of player that I think in 5 years, like this guy has wide receiver one in this class. In his range of outcomes, he's a dog on the field. We've talked about it. He's with Patty Holmes. And look, Travis Kelce's getting old. The Ty Freak isn't there anymore. Sky Moore, he is the next amazing player on that team. And he's going here.
And he's a super smart player. So I actually have faith in him being able to learn the playbook in KC. Like if Christian Watson would have went to KC, I would have had a little bit of a worry with the playbook. If he was able to absorb it and execute it. With Sky Moore, it's different. He's played multiple positions. He seemed very savvy and smart, and he knows how to play. I'm excited for Sky Moore and see what he does. And Juju is sneaky, guys. Though, like let's I think I'm back on that train a little bit with Juju as a solid wide receiver too.
Listen, I would be a fantastic wedding singer, okay? So don't
even. Dude, that's what you do look like as a wedding singer. That'd be so good.
What it is, I shouldn't have worn the black vest because the problem with the black vest is I look like a freaking waiter. That's the problem.
You look like
you're what it is.
Bring me a whiskey sour. Let's go.
So Matt is asking, are we settling more and more with the fact that Ken Walker isn't the 101? Look, our composite picks, Matt, he was the 103. So. Yeah, it's pretty consensus. I still have him as my two, but yeah.
What I'm going to say about this is I was listening to Alan Sizlowski's podcast about it, and he was saying he's done a crap load of these drafts so far, and he's saying all the normal fantasy players are taking Ken Walker at 102. But like when he goes in the sharper drafts, like with the sharps, he is not going 102. It's usually London that's going 102. But that's why people are moving off him a little bit is because A, we don't know if he's going to get the passing, the passing attempts, you know, we don't know if he's going to get the targets or not. It seems like in camp though, P is saying he's catching the ball well. So, but from what it really comes down to, can the guy do pass protect? Can he pass protect? That was the biggest issue with him. I think that he was raw in that aspect. He has a lot to learn there. Best runner in the class, but one of the worst pass protectors in the class as well. So we'll see if he can do that.
So Matt's saying he should be at the 104, which obviously would mean Breece Hall, your flavor of Treylon Burks or Drake London, and then Ken Walker. Yeah. There's been a confluence of events here, okay? So obviously fantasy football is evolving just based on the fact that more and more leagues are playing in full PPR or half point PPR, right? So the casting the ball is all that more important.
It's important.
Something like, what is it, like 2.84% or points on average or come from a catch versus a rushing touch. So
that was from Josh Larkey, right? Wasn't it? Josh Larkey put that out.
It wasn't from Larkey. I can't even remember. I can't remember.
He was ripping people for going 102 with Ken Walker because you don't get points for run attempts. You know, like like I think people are going to be a little frustrated with him. I love Ken Walker. It pained me to not take him at 102 and put him at 102 for my rankings. So that was the main reason, is because we just don't know his role. His role's not yet defined. And that's the hardest part.
Then you bake into the fact, guys, that in fantasy football for the last two or three seasons, all these elite running backs, they've let you down, man.
Like, yeah.
They keep getting hurt every single freaking year. So you go, you spend this high draft capital on these running backs, and they get hurt for half the bloody season, if not the entire season. And so people are a little bit gun shy. And so people are starting to lean more and more towards building their teams toward wide receiver. I did it.
We did the
startup this year, and I basically faded. My RB1 was Travis Etienne in that league. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. But at the end of the day, I look at the running back class and I look at how I'm building my team. If I can get one of these running backs, that's the only way you're going to get them, man. If you think that Rashad White or Damian Pierce has the same upside as Kenneth Walker, then go ahead and fade Ken Walker. Take one of these other wide receivers early, but there's a risk. There's just a risk to it. So
you just hit it on the head, dude.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Mike, you're up at the 10 spot.
Ooh, I'm up. So this is interesting here. So we got the guys that I'm looking at. I'm looking at Watson, Cook, Pickens, Dotson. Those are kind of my choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this would be one of those situations where I would be, you know, I would make different choices, different days, different times. I think in this situation, though, I am probably going to look to go. I'm probably going to go Pickens in this situation.
There you go. Yep. He's rising on everybody's boards, man. He's rising. Yeah.
Yep. So my thinking with that is that he's a more polished prospect than Watson is. Obviously, he's not in as high powered an offense as Christian Watson is, but Pickens is a more complete player coming out. Pittsburgh has a great track record with their second round wide receivers. They took Pickens in the second. I think that if it had not been for A, injury, and B, a few character allegations, I think Pickens could have been that seventh wide receiver taken in the first round. Obviously the talent belies that. There were just a couple little ancillary things that pushed him down to the second. So when you look at that, I was kind of coin flip between him and James Cook, but looking at who else is left, if you're thinking running back in the back end of round one there, Nick, I agree. If you're thinking running back in the back end of round one, beginning of round two there, you got Cook and you also have Pierce and Rashad White that are all kind of right there. So that's all. You have options. Whereas I don't know, I'm not excited about Dotson in Washington. Like I'm more excited about Pickens in, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. That makes sense.
So,
all right. Enough said. Brandon, who you got?
Isn't our homeboy making a pick?
No, he's back at 204.
Okay. Next pick, Christian Watson. You just got to take this a pure upside play. I think they drafted him for that role. I think Devontae Adams actually tweeted out how he thought about Watson. He called him a straight stud. So I'm excited about him. I think he's going to walk into 100 targets easy this year, and it's coming from Aaron Rodgers, man. When you got that kind of guy that can make you better as a player, that's a big deal to me. The quarterback can enhance a bad player or a player that's learning on the move, and that's what Watson is. And I think they're going to scheme him. I think they're going to scheme him a ton. So.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, Christian Watson, like he wasn't a first round pick because I don't think he deserved to be, but he was definitely high second round pick to trade it up to get him. Who else do they have? Like he's going to get peppered with targets. I think that's
all about opportunity. Like that's one thing about this class is so close together. The prospects, it's about, I think opportunity is what separates them. Like Yeah. Who's going to get that opportunity early?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the 12th pick, I mean, it's a guy that we liked as a prospect. He's
here we go.
A little jitterbug. I'm not going. Who do you think I'm going to go? He's on my board. He's one pick higher on my board. I'm going Jahan Dotson, man.
There you go. You know
what? We talked about it. I'm going Jahan Dotson, wide receiver out of, what is it? All my things are messed up.
Penn State. Small college Penn State.
No, stop it. No, I'm copying paste, and I got my V lookups going. It's all over the paste, baby, but I got the names down. We're good. Going Jahan Dotson. Obviously, we love TMC, but they got a quarterback like Carson Wentz can make two wide receivers relevant. So I'm bullish on Jahan Dotson. Mike, out of curiosity, because Brandon and I did a trade recently, and look, I still have regret on this trade, but I'm also happy with the result. I end up trading away a pick where Brandon took Chris Olave, and I end up getting Jahan Dotson and Rashad White. I think that's close, right? Like, that's close.
That's a very that's a close. Very good trade, man. Like, honestly, when I made that trade, like, the way it shook out, I didn't think it was going to shake out that way. I wish I almost didn't do it, but getting Olave, he's one of my studs of the class, so I'm all good with that.
I have zero shares of Olave. This was the one league where I knew where that pick number was. I knew it was probably going to be Olave on the board. You and I were going back and forth. And it's one of those things where, you know, it was a good trade because I hurt and you also hurt, right? When both people hurt, but they're both kind of happy.
Yeah.
I need Jahan Dotson to do something. I don't know what Rashad White's going to be. I mean, he could be replaced next year. I like the talent, but Leonard Fournette's getting up there in age. Maybe he gets hurt. So there's a path to opportunity there.
So I was talking to Alan Sazowski about it because I was kind of second guessing myself on that trade a little bit. I was talking to Alan about it a little bit, and I asked him, I was like, do you think Rashad White could have an instant impact this year? And he's like, I don't think so, because he's got to earn the trust of Tom Brady. Like, he's got to earn the trust of Tom Brady on third down with pass pro. I think that's where, if you're going to see Rashad White, that's when it's going to happen. Is a lot of third down because the guy caught 45 passes last year. So he's a star catching the football. But you know, like, he's got to really earn that trust, and it could take a while. So that it could take this season to do that. And who knows if Tom Brady's going to be here next or in 2023. So that could be his massive breakout year is 2023.
Yeah. So the one thing I'll say about Rashad White, we haven't drafted him, so we'll talk about him shortly, but you're right. He's got to earn the trust. The thing is, he's got the talent. He's got the security profile in his hands, where I think he will earn that trust. Mm-hmm. Love playoff Lenny. Love him. Lenny. Lenny Fournette. Call him what you want. He's a little bit older. They're probably going to take a few touches away from him, and he could get hurt, just like any other starting running back.
Sure.
So it's a dice roll, but I like to roll with that. All right. So let's just do a really quick recap of round one. We got Breece Hall, Treylon Burks, Kenneth Walker, Drake London. Nothing really crazy there. Then we got Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Kenny Pickett, the first quarterback in a Superflex league, and then Jameson Williams. Again, I'd say top eight, pretty chalky. You know, once in a while, Sky Moore might sneak in there, but it's pretty chalky. We got a tier break right there, okay? Following that, we got Sky Moore, George Pickens. Little high for me on George Pickens.
That's
but
a little
I totally
high.
Get it. Yep. I totally get it. Christian Watson, Jahan Dotson. All right. Another tier break, I would say, right? Some would argue, this guy included, that James Cook should be in that last tier there. But let's just wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Get your popcorn ready. We're on round two. This is where drafts really start.
Yep.
Mike,
you're
on the board. Pick one.
The wait is over. James Cook. The pick is in.
Here it is. Okay.
The pick is in. Stealing my thunder. Here we go.
Yeah, I know. So I like the opportunity that he's going to have beyond this year, probably in Buffalo. It's going to take him a little while to work in. Zach Moss is still there to be a pain in the ass. Duke Johnson is still there. Devin Singletary is still there. There's bodies in that building that he's going to have to fend off and shake off. That said, I think that he's a quality prospect. He's good. I mean, he's got the lineage, he's got the bloodline. Some people are saying that he's a better prospect than his brother, but he's just not as big as his brother.
They should be shot for that.
So, I didn't say you said it. I said some people said it. So, but this is Jesus. but this this is where this class starts to diverge, right? Where we start to see all these broad takes. Some people say James Cook should be drafted in the third round. Some people say James Cook should go in the back of the first round. Like, we start to see it diverge. So this is where you got to know, this is where you got to know your rosters, know your needs, know your prospect. This is just strictly from a prospect standpoint. If I was building, if I had no roster, if my needs were even all the way across my roster, I would probably lean towards the running back just because of the depth that exists with the wide receivers. I know that coming back at the first part of the third round, there's going to be receivers available for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Brandon, you're up. Pick number two.
Okay, so this is in between my two of my favorite guys in the second round. This is between David Bell and Damian Pierce. Like, this is it. It just depends on who I want. I think for this draft, I'm just going to go David Bell because I think David Bell has a very good outlined role. I think he doesn't have to earn it and prove it like Damian Pierce will have to. If you've seen some of the coaches talking to David Bell, I saw some of the, you know, Cleveland, they tweeted out some interviews with him and stuff, and they had him pegged as a Brown from day one. They wanted this guy, and they envisioned this guy in their offense, and I think he's going to take over the Jarvis Landry role. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. And what did we talk when we talked about him pre-draft? We said that his comp was very close to Jarvis Landry. And look at that. The team that let go of Jarvis Landry drafted David Bell to replace Jarvis Landry. And I think he's a smooth glider. I think he's super smart, solid hands. I think he's going to be a fun, sneaky player, slightly higher than I've been taking him. But I think this is the right for this draft. I think this is the right call.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about David Bell is the fact that I don't have him on any of my teams yet. That's it. That's the only thing I don't like about him.
Yeah.
All right.
Same here. That's why I took him here.
Yeah. There you go. Getting a little bit of a taste. Okay. So I'm going for the next pick here, third pick in round two. So these are my choices. Okay. So we got Malik Willis, quarterback at a Liberty. He's a backup, right? He's probably not going to get a lot of playing time this year. Ryan Tannehill is good, guys. I don't care what you say. Ryan Tannehill is good, and he's going to hold down the starting job for this year, okay? Yeah. So then there's Rashad White, the aforementioned Rashad White. Again, he's kind of buried on that depth chart, but he's got the draft capital, 3.27. And then Damian Pierce, the guy that we like, went 402 to the Texans. Look, just for the fun of it, I'm going to go a little contrary to my personal rankings. I'm going to go Malik Willis here. I'm just going to go with the upside. He was somebody that I was super high on pre-draft. I mean, I think we all were. It's not a hard take to say we all were.
Not
right?
Really, not me.
But, well, I mean, look, we liked his prospect. I was getting a little, as a Jalen Hurts stan, I was getting a little bit upset that people were saying, like, he's a good Jalen Hurts. Like, get out of here. Get out of here with that, right? Like, he could be as good as Jalen Hurts. As good as. He could be better than
Jalen Hurts. Isn't Jalen Hurts a third-round pick?
Second.
Second round pick. Okay. So, he got exactly the same. Yeah. Like he is.
Not exactly. Malik Willis was 3.2.
He went in the third. Yeah. He late third, right? So, yeah. Okay. He dropped a little bit.
Yeah. And it's an Allen stand and Matt saying it. QBs are never cheaper than they are in your rookie drafts. So
100%.
Round two, you're going for the upside. I'm going Malik Willis here. That's it. Mike, giddy up.
All right. So, my man, Nick Bach texted in saying he wants to take at the 204. He's taking Damian Pierce.
I love it.
Yep, we talked about him earlier. The opportunity is going to be there. The talent's going to be there. Even if it's just for this year. If you think Bijan's going to be there, you can flip him and sell him high. If not, you can just believe that Lovie Smith drafted this guy and he's going to want to ride him for a little bit. That offense is sneaky. I kind of like the whole thing.
Dude, I love Houston. Like, I actually like it what they're doing down there, and. Like I said, man, this guy, his attitude is, I think he's going to be a coach's dream. Like, I think this guy will run through a brick wall for any coach. I think he is just that guy. I think he's a team guy. I think that's what he's going to bring some real energy to that locker room. I'm excited for him.
I think people are letting people are letting their lack of college production kind of cloud their vision a little bit. Like he didn't put up numbers in college, but he just didn't put up numbers because he didn't put up numbers. Like I think that
extremely efficient. Extremely
efficient. His efficiency is crazy. Like his efficiency is great. It's not his fault that the coaches, you know, they were running multiple backs. Like that's just what college is these days. And to be honest, as a pro, if I was a pro GM, I would actually look at it as a plus that he doesn't have all the wear and tear. Like he really didn't have to carry the load and destroy his body. And, you know, I think that's actually a good, his profile is legit and he runs hard, man. I just love the way he runs. I'm a big fan.
Tara's excited about the Dameon Pierce pick here. Love it.
Woohoo!
All right, Brandon, you're up.
Dameon Pierce. So we got, okay. Okay, so right here, I'm going to go Desmond Ridder. This is where Ridder goes. And I think Ridder is a solid play for Superflex. I think he's going to get a shot, like Mike said. I'm going to believe in Mike's guy here, and he's got himself a good offense to throw to. He's got London, he's got Pitts, he's got the biggest bust ever, and Bryan Edwards coming to town. You know, like he's got a crazy good profile. I liked Bryan Edwards coming out of South Carolina, and you know, he maybe he'll get something going. You know, maybe it was just the coach's staff didn't like him as a person or whatever. There's a lot of things that happen inside buildings people don't understand. Sometimes coaches can just blackball you, you know, and you don't get your opportunity. So I'm going to go Desmond Ridder. Like Matt said, like Matt Beck just said, you can't get him cheaper than right now.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. I love it. Okay, so I am up next. It's got to be Rashad White. I mean, we already just talked about it, so I'm not going to rehash it. But Rashad White, the value screaming here. I would say David Bell, Malik Willis, Dameon Pierce, Desmond Ridder, Rashad White. They're a nice little tier.
They're like their own tier. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what tweet he's Clipboard's talking about. But he's saying a tweet from Cody last night hit him in the heart. I don't know which one he's talking about. Share it with us. Share it with the people, Clipboard. Jesus. All right.
While we're waiting for that to happen, I am going to go ahead and go back on the board. I am looking at the 2.8 2.7. I'm sorry, I took Pickett in the first round, so I kind of got a little. I'm looking Spiller. It's too early for McBride. I think that all things being equal, I'm looking John Metchie at this point. We just mentioned, we kind of like that offense. We like the opportunity for Pierce. Metchie was a great prospect. He's a great, great, mm-hmm. great prospect. He got hurt. I think if he hadn't gotten hurt, again, we would be talking about him much higher, much earlier. I think he'd be one of those guys who's kind of in that second tier right after Jameson Williams. He might even sneak into that Jameson Williams tier. I'm going to go John Metchie out of Houston with Houston here.
I love it. Okay, so I guess the Edwards stands think that Amon Ra, I'm assuming Amon Ra St. Brown.
Dude, Amon Ra is a dude. Stop it. He is good. Like
he's shown it. He's done it. He proved it. He broke out.
He only crushed rookie records for, you know, like he only just smashed everything. Like come on now.
Yeah, Becky agrees with you. He's saying that the best value there was John Metchie. So there you go. For once, Brandon and Mike and Matt actually agree on something. Brandon, yeah. You're up, brother.
So who do I got here? So I'm going to take Trey McBride here. I think this is where he goes. He belongs. He's a superstar at tight end. I think he's going to – in Arizona, he's going to get taught by one of the best, Zach Ertz. I think he's going to learn. He's going to – in 2023, he's going to be a stud. And I think he's going to have his breakout games as well. With DeAndre Hopkins down for 6 weeks, they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. I see Kyler throwing to him in the red zone quite a bit early, but this is more about 2023 and beyond pick for me. I just think the talent at tight end, you take talent like that when you can, because he is going to be very nice in AZ. I think Kyler is going to love Trey McBride.
Yeah, Matt's saying that Metchie is greater than David Bell. I'd say they're comparable. I roll the dice. I think one could outproduce the other.
Really? I think about it this way. Who's throwing the ball to David Bell?
Watson. You're right.
Watson's.
Well, right now it's Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, maybe.
Not really, because Watson's not suspended yet. So it's Watson right now.
Yeah, I think in two years, like if we're drafting for that third year, David Bell is going to be drafted higher than John Metchie. I agree.
100%.
I agree with 100%. That. Okay, I'm on the board here. So this is my consideration. It's a little bit early for Macarella, in my opinion. I'm then considering my boy, who I love, Zamir White, because I'm going RB for upside here. And then between Alec Pierce, who I don't know. I get it. He's got the draft capital. He's athletic. I just, for whatever reason, I haven't been an Alec Pierce guy throughout this whole process. Or a player out of South Alabama that I absolutely love. Talk about an absolute stud. Talk about an Adonis. Jalen Tolbert went to the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
He could have an opportunity early. I think it could be Dax Cedric Wilson, but better. So to me, really, the choice is between Zamir White and Jalen Tolbert. And the only reason I'm going to go Zamir White here as my pick is simply because there's still, I'm going for RB upside at this point. So Zamir White, I've never been a big Josh Jacobs guy. Zamir White, I think, is better than Josh Jacobs, frankly. And they're at least as good. I think they're at least as good as each other.
Yards after contact, Josh Jacobs is miles ahead of Zamir White.
Okay, maybe you're right. But I like Zamir White better than Josh. So look, at this point in the draft, you're kind of just going for your people. So I'm going to go Zamir White. And that's it. I'm not going to apologize for it. So screw you, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, you should. And Oakland. They're Las Vegas. Now, They did not pick up Jacobs' fifth-year option. So,
but that's I think that's because they don't want to pay him that high amount of money. I think they're going to try and sign him at a moderate RB, at a decent RB team-friendly contract. He's leaving. I think this is about negotiations for his next contract.
They could just say, listen, you got injury history. We're not going to pay you based on your injury history. We're going to offer you, 3 years, $12 million, something like that. Oh God.
Matt Beck. I swear to God, man.
He's tilting. Like, he's tilting.
He's banned. He's banned in the comments. I think that a scenario sets up where they offer him a deal and he says, no, I'm going to test the open market. And Zamir White is the running back there next year. I think that's a very real scenario.
That's totally fine. Yeah,
that's what I think. All right, Mike, your pick.
All right, I'm next. All right, so we are looking at – what are we looking at here?
Before you pick, Mike, we're only going to do two rounds because we're pushing on 51 minutes. We're going to do late rounds next week, but this week we'll do the top two rounds. So this is your last pick, Mike.
Great. Sounds good. All right, so round before this, I went George Pickens. So looking at what's there, you got Alec Pierce, got Matt Corral. I still think it's a little early for Matt Corral. I've not been for as much of a Ritter stan as I am. I'm not a huge Alec Pierce guy. I kind of like give me. I think I'm gonna go with.
Don't you do it?
I think I'm gonna go TDP right here.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a little early for him, but I think that. I like his profile. He's a big dude. He's 6'1", 235. He's 235. He's big. I think he's going to get a lot of that. I think he's going to get a lot of goal line work. I think he's going to get a lot of short yardage work. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to put up substantial points. I think they really plan on taking the ball out of Debo's hands in the backfield and focusing on making him a receiver more. So I think we're looking at like a thunder and lightning situation here. Elijah Mitchell is fragile. He's been injured. He's quick. He's good. He's obviously the RB1, but he's got the injury history. Behind him, there's not much. Trey Sermon, he doesn't – for some reason, he's not resonating with that coaching staff, it seems like. So I think that there's a ton of opportunity for TDP right here. Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go, Nick. I've gotten a lot of shares of TDP because I'm pushing for him and trading for him.
Yeah.
I also have a fair number of shares of Elijah Mitchell. So it's kind of a hedge here, but I think he could. Elijah Mitchell's got a better burst score than TDP, but they both have pretty solid speed scores. He's 6 foot 219, Mike. So he's got the size. Okay. Yeah. So he's got the size. It's just, it's a crapshoot. And so you're rolling the dice at this point. You're looking, okay, range of outcomes. Who is an opportunity to potential opportunity to start? TDP does. So Brandon, last pick. Who you got, brother?
I think this might be a little bit of a surprise. I've been having a hard time because this guy's been dropping in so many drafts. I like Wandell Robinson here. I've been picking up more and more Wandell. I think people are scared of the whole Rondell thing. And I just think he's much bigger than Rondell ever was, much taller. He absolutely crushed, when he played. And I think he's the best talent right here And he has draft capital. I think that is where they are going to use him at some, you know, it's going to be Tony. It's going to be Wandell. I don't know what they're going to do with Kenny Golladay, man. Like what is Kenny Golladay going to be? Are they going to trade Tony? Are they there's been Daboll came out and said that Tony has been a great teammate at camp. He's been he's had a great attitude. He likes him as a person. He just came out yesterday talking about it. So I don't know if they're going to trade Tony or what, but Wandell, his talent, man, he's legitimate wide receiver. I like him a lot.
Okay. So he's 5'8", 178 pounds. So he's pretty much in line with Rondale Moore. That's what we're a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's overdrafted. I think he is more of like a round three type wide receiver. I get the upside. I went on the RotoWire show and with Al, and Al gave me shit because I was not happy with this pick. He's like, Shane, this is one of your guys pre-draft. Like, yeah, he was one of my late round guys. He wasn't my round two guy, right? So, but in rookie draft,
late round two.
I'm talking about NFL round
three. Oh, NFL. Draft, I got right? you.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. But in rookie drafts, this is where he's going. I've seen him go earlier than this. We've all seen him go earlier.
Much earlier.
So, he definitely has a camp out there. I'm still a little bit gun shy to draft these size, but he's 178 pounds. He's not 165 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
That to me, that Mendoza line for me is usually right around 180, but close enough. You could put on 5 pounds in camp. We're next year. I think it's worth the pick. I don't hate it. I don't hate it, Brandon. So the good news for me though, is that gives me an opportunity to take a guy that I like. So there you go. Yep. I'm going to go with Jalen Tolbert. Taking a stand on Jalen Tolbert.
It was between those two for me.
Yeah. So Jalen Tolbert, last pick here. Let me just update the banner for the people, and then I'm going to explain to you why I like Jalen Tolbert. Well, actually, I pretty much already said why I like him, but basically, he does have an opportunity to be the wide receiver two in that offense on day one. He's a stud because he's a senior. We've seen seniors like Deebo Samuel who, yes, he had dealt with some injuries, but he came and he was instantly productive right from day one. Same thing with Cooper Kupp. Typically, the top wide receivers at the Senior Bowl, Christian Watson, Jalen Tolbert, are productive in the NFL. It's a pretty good there's always a few exceptions like Denzel Mims, but Jalen Tolbert wins in a different way. So getting with the end of the second round here, going to the Dallas Cowboys, they like to throw fast. They like to go quick.
Dude, I hear you.
Cedric Wilson's gone. Let's go. Let's go. Michael Gallup's hurt. Let's go. So that's it. I'm just going to recap the second round here. So at first pick, James Cook, David Bell, Malik Willis, Damian Pierce. Like it. Desmond Ridder, Rashad White, John Mechie, Trey McBride, our first tight end off the board. Most of us play in tight end premium leagues, but either way, this is about where he goes. Zamir White,
TDP,
Terrion Davis Price, Wandell Robinson, and finally Jalen Tolbert. So I think we did a pretty good job. I mean, we've been in a number of rookie drafts together already. We've been in rookie drafts individually. So we're starting to get a pretty good pulse on the market. And there's a few guys that have gone early that we didn't really talk about yet. Alec Pierce is still on the board. Matt Corral is still on the board. Isaiah Spiller is still on the board. And Brian Robinson is still on the board. So those are all guys that I've seen go in the second round. Was there anybody that I missed that you guys have seen go in round two that we didn't bring up today?
No.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. So Matt's saying Mooney's it's not 170. Exactly. Exactly. Range of outcomes.
He can but he's be tall. Good. Isn't he taller though, Matt? Isn't he like 5'10"?
He's 5'11", I think.
5'11". Yeah. So he's a little taller, a little lankier, but Wandell Robinson has everything it takes to be a very good wide receiver. It just depends on, you know, Daniel Jones and target share. That's it.
So next week, we're going to round out rounds 3, 4, 5. We'll go a little bit quicker because, those ones are a lot more subjective. But you boys be prepared to get filthy, get nasty, get dirty. And so that's it. Mike, where do the good people find you?
Get me on Twitter at @Mike_Dickinson. We'll talk.
Brandon?
I'll send you a GIF.
At Brandon D. Adam 19 on Twitter. One of these days, Shane is going to give us the keys to the kingdom for the Flex Network Twitter handle, and we'll be able to tweet out of that. And instead of him being such a little baby about it, let us put our takes out there to the people with Flex Network. And we'll actually have a bigger microphone. But yeah, I think we did a good job here. I think you could explain every single pick in this draft at where they were taken. No real surprises though. Like I think we know each other so well now that we know who we're gonna be picking. Like, yeah, so
I'm kidding. If you guys thought
I gave you Tolbert.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that.
I knew you would want it.
I think you after just killing my dreams last week with James Cook, you felt a little bit pity on me this week and let me have my guys. So I appreciate that. If you guys think that our takes are all over the place with just Matt and I tweeting out of that Flex Network account, I couldn't even imagine if Brendan and Mike were in there. So we'll see. But we can maybe talk about that. But
Hand the keys over.
I'm good.
Hand the keys over.
Yeah, exactly. So Clip, Matt, Nicholas, Tara, Jen, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for participating. Thank you for watching live. This is why we're here. It's a labor of love. If you guys like what you listen to, if you like what you're watching, please like, please subscribe, please share, please retweet. Please go to our TikTok page. Go to our Instagram page. I made a nice little TikTok this morning. So TikTok page. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere on the socials. We're on Pinterest. So get on there. Help us out. And if you guys want us to help support us, we don't have a Patreon. We don't have none of that stuff. But we do have gear. We have Flex Network gear. If you want to go rock the stuff, go. There's a link in the info on the show sheet or on the show. Go. Follow the link. Get yourself some Flex gear and help support the show. So with that in mind, for Brandon, for Mike, I'm Flex Shane. We are the Flex.
Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody. This right here is the Flex Network.